a hangman tie a slipknot? Did you ever see a hangman tie a slipknot? Yes, I've seen it many a time, and he whines and he whines. After 13 times, he's got a slipknot.
Please.
Did you ever lose a brother on that slipknot? Did you ever lose a brother on that slipknot? Yes, my brother was a slave. He tried to escape. They drug him to his grave with a slipknot.
Please.
Did you ever lose your father on that slipknot? Did you ever lose your father on that slipknot? Yes, they hung him from a pole, and they shot him full of holes. They left him there to rot in that slipknot.
Please.
Tell me who makes the laws for that slipknot? Who makes the laws for that slipknot? Who says who is going to the calaboose? Get the hangman's noose or the slipknot.
Please.
I don't know who makes the law for that slipknot. I don't know who makes the law for that slipknot. But the bones of many a men are whistling in the wind because they tied their laws with a slipknot.
Jason Gore going to be in here with you for a couple of hours, and at 9 o'clock tonight, from 9 until midnight, 3 hours of some of the deepest classic rock you've ever heard on the radio.
Bam! Yes! Bam! Yes! How about this? Look. Looky Lou. I'm recording this. I don't even know where anybody is. Ay, ay, ay. Hachi machi. It is. I'm recording this on a Sunday night. This is the best show. Because where's the best show? The best show's wherever I am. That's a fact, my man. Best show, wherever Tom is, that's where the best show is. So here I am on a Sunday night. We're going to record an episode of the show to be played at a future date. And tonight we're talking about dreams and nightmares. I'll talk about your dreams, talk about your nightmares. Now, these callers who are going to call, they are not hearing what anybody's talking about. We're just doing this all in the dark. Everybody will hear this when it airs. The callers don't know what I'm going to say other than what I say to them. It's very exciting, isn't it? Well, I don't even have to give the number out because nobody can hear this. So let's get the show started. How about that? I'm going to play the opening theme and then we'll take some calls. Best show. Oh, wrong one. Best show. Best show. Best show. Best show. Opening theme squared away. Did that. Didn't play any music because I can't play it on this, so that's how that goes. And people want to know why we don't play music on the podcast. Because it's not ours to make downloadable. It's very simple. That's why. Can't make stuff downloadable that's not ours to make downloadable. That's all. Very simple. So tonight we're going to talk about dreams and nightmares. These callers, everybody is just calling unawares of what we're doing. Nobody can hear anybody. So we're just going to get into it. Take some calls. Best show, hi.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. To whom am I speaking?
My name is Tim.
Tim, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Clifton Park, New York.
Clifton Park, New York. Where is that now?
It's like 30 minutes north of Albany.
Okay.
Pretty
far up there, huh?
Yeah, upstate.
Yeah, what do you got? The garbage plate? You eat that?
What's the garbage plate?
You're from up there and you don't know what the garbage plate is?
No, I don't. I mean, it's kind of like the suburbia around here, to be honest. So, like, I don't know what they got around here for, like, the garbage plate. I might have to go more up north.
Like, maybe Rochester. I think the garbage plate might be from Rochester.
I mean, I know Rochester.
You never heard of the garbage plate ever. Did you grow up there?
I grew up, but it's like the suburbs, you know? So it's like, I mean, like, I know Rochester and, like, Saratoga Springs and Queensbury and, you know, all that. Like, Boston Lake, Boston Spa, I know the area, but I've never had a garbage plate.
Uh-huh.
It's the truth.
Well, got something to look forward to, buddy.
I guess so. You've got a garbage plate.
Yeah, it's just a thing of food. It's a plate with all sorts of junk on it, like fries and meat and gravy and all sorts of stuff.
So it's almost like poutine.
No, it's not like poutine. It's yeah. All right. Are you doing a character?
Nah.
It's not a little bit. You're doing a little bit of a character. You can admit it. It's okay. We'll do a character thing. You want to do a character thing? We'll do a character thing. You doing a comedy routine? That's okay.
Do you want to do a character thing?
Well, you clearly want to because you just perked up when I said, do you want to do one?
You're an insightful man.
Yeah. So what do you want,
servant.
Chief? What do you want?
I saw your Twitter about talking about dreams.
Yeah, so you called in. What? Tell me about a dream. But what do you want to do it as the character, or you want to do it as you? You tell me. Your choice. I'm not gonna judge you for calling and doing a character. I'm not gonna get on you for that.
You know what? You got me.
A lot of other shows. Yeah. Well, it was a terrible character. It was terrible.
No, come on.
It was so bad. That voice you were doing was ridiculously bad. Hey, you want to do the thing? It was awful.
Well, I mean, like, okay, all I'm saying is, had you considered the possibility that you were speaking with someone who really sounded like that, and if you called them out, it'd be, like, kind of insulting, or...
Yeah, no, but you couldn't hold the thing. That's the difference. You couldn't hold
it. I know. Honestly, you're right. And that comes with experience. That's on me.
Yeah. You blew it. What's your name?
Connor.
Connor, where are you actually calling from?
Well, so that's the truth. I'm from Clifton Park, and I've never had a garbage plate. I mean, that's the truth.
Okay.
Truth.
All right. So that's the truth. So what? What's that now?
And here we are.
Here we are.
Two people totally exposed and vulnerable and honest.
I ain't exposed,
talking about dreams.
I ain't exposed, bro. You tell me about your dreams now. Tell me about, well, I know your nightmare just happened. Your nightmare just happened. You just got, this is the equivalent of you walking into the classroom with no pants on.
Yeah.
Just happened.
Which, I mean, I've had that dream before. So.
Yeah, and it just happened again.
Isn't it weird how sometimes it goes like that? You know, you'll have a dream. That's why people think dreams are, like, prophetic. I think they're looking for their dreams to, like, show up in reality, you know?
Yeah. So tell me about a dream.
Okay. Have you ever watched the show The Impractical Jokers?
You know,
like,
you know I have.
You know it?
You know I have.
Okay. I mean, dude, I didn't want to make that assumption, so. But anyways, the Jokers, one of them is Q. I guess I'm just gonna talk like you know. I mean, you know. We both know. So Q often gets, they kind of like a running joke where he's like Rosie O'Donnell. And so this is serious. So
he looks like Rosie O'Donnell is the joke, and they even had Rosie O'Donnell on the show at one point to make joke.
That I didn't know either. I didn't know the full extent of the Rosie O'Donnell joke. I didn't know the garbage plate.
She was on the show, and she pretended to be his clone or something like that. I forget what it was, but it was something like that.
Yeah. Well, okay. Point is, I had this dream, and it's one of those dreams where it's like
it kind of turns into a nightmare, but, like, when you explain it, like, I don't think it sounds scary, but it was when, like, I was dreaming it. Uh-huh. But pretty much it's like I'm on the show, like, just like me being, like, a person. And, like, Q approaches me, you know what I mean? It's like I'm the person that they're messing with or whatever. Uh-huh. But I recognize him because it's my dream, and I'm like, oh, shit, it's Q.
Well, first of all, tighten the language up now. What are you, a toilet mouth?
I'm sorry.
Well, you're blowing it all over the place, man.
Oh, boy.
It's not your night. So you had a dream you're on Impractical Jokers.
Yes. Here's the thing.
Yes.
So Q's talking to me, and then it's one of those, you know, like, dreams will change. Like, I turn away, and then I turn back, and it's Rosie O'Donnell who's there instead. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what? Like, I get that there's, like, this joke going on, but I'm like, what? And I, like, it started to, like, morph, where, like, things, it would just, like when you get, like, that warping effect, and it's, like, sort of like a melting thing, and so I'm just, like, watching her, and it's, like, all of her skin is, like, just, like, coming off, and I'm like, what the heck? And then I woke up, and I know it's, like, it's a weird short thing, but it was one of those dreams that stuck with me, and it was, like, bizarre enough where I was, like, why did I dream that? Like, sometimes those things just happen.
That might be you're just watching too much of the show.
I mean, it could be, I guess. I don't know. The thing is that it is on a lot late at night. They'll play it for, like, 20 hours. Just like,
no, that's the True TV. They run the stuff on a loop.
Yeah, it doesn't stop. So, I mean, I have fallen asleep to that. I guess that happens, so.
Yeah, don't worry, man. You do it, it's okay.
Well.
Look, you kind of blew it tonight.
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying that. You and I were on the same page.
No, we're not.
You and I were on the same page. And I think what the takeaway is, like, there's something to be said about, like, humility and, like, knowing when you've made a mistake.
Oh, please, well, then we're on the same page. That is true.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think there's, like, is it at my expense? Sure, but is there not a lesson to be learned? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Be better.
Right. So,
at your fake character.
So we're on the same page.
Give me a little bit of that character again now.
Yeah, you know, so a little bit, we're on the same page over there.
Yeah, all right, goodbye. Oh, how about that? No. Best Show, hi. Hello, hi, welcome to the Best Show. Hello, Best Show. Are you there?
Hello, Tom.
Yes, hi.
Tom, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. To whom am I speaking?
You got Steve from Long Island?
Steve from Long Island. What's going on Long Island tonight? It's late, huh?
Oh, wow. You know, I got the message about the dreams and stuff, and I got one I'm hoping you can help me with.
Yeah, because we're talking about dreams and nightmares, and I'll analyze both of them, and we'll talk them through, and we'll see what's what. What do you got for me, Steve?
Oh, that'll be great. Well, yeah, so I keep having these, like, recurring dreams that, like, one way or another, like, I can't get home. You know, like I'm in some, like, other neighborhood that's not so safe, and it's, like, dark out, and I can't, like, I'm really afraid to walk the street at night, and I keep making wrong turns, and, like, you know, these, like, strange-looking characters are, like, looking at me and coming up to me, and it's, like, you know, my heart starts racing, and it's, bad.
Are you doing a bit? Are you doing a character?
No.
You're not putting me on, are you? Okay.
No.
Okay, because the previous guy was, and I might be a little too on edge right now with that. Some guy just called me and was doing a wacky voice. And not that your voice is wacky, but he was saying, I was just going to say, your thing sounds like an obvious anxiety dream.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not, believe me, I'm not putting you on or anything.
Okay. Well, I mean, do you have some source of anxiety in your life right now?
Well, no, I mean, that's what's really strange. The only source of anxiety is when I have these dreams, right? So, like another time, like I live in this building where you got to walk up a couple of flights, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the nightmares I'm having is that, like, they rearrange the staircases or something. So, like, you know, you go up maybe five steps and the rest is missing. So I got to, like, jump to the next, like, above landing and, like, hold on and pull myself up to the landing.
Okay.
And then there's, like, another obstacle after that.
Yeah, that sounds like
you know, like,
futility.
I'm out of town. And,
sounds like you've got some frustration also in your life.
Well, I mean, not really. It's just, like, it's just when I have these dreams. I don't know, maybe
nothing,
I die.
There's nothing that's frustrating? Nothing?
Well, I guess I'm not thrilled about my job. That might be frustrating.
Okay. Well, that might be it. Maybe it's your job that you're frustrated about. Maybe something that feels like it's really, really, really kind of like grinding you down.
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
What's your job, if you don't mind me saying?
Huh?
What type of work you in?
I'm in mall security.
Okay.
There's not a lot that goes on, you know. It's not very stressful. I just don't really like it that much.
What do? You drive? You the guy driving the car through the parking lot?
No, I'm like walking through the mall.
You ever stop off, get a pretzel?
Well, I try not to because, you know, like I said, there's not a lot going on. So, you know, it's easy to get distracted, stuff like that. But I try to stay away from that stuff, like Auntie Annie's. Yeah. I can't do that.
No, you can't eat that all day.
No.
Friends with different shopkeeps?
Well, not really. I think they kind of like, I don't think they really want me around very much. So I don't really talk to them very much. Maybe that's what this all has to do. I don't know.
You might be frustrated. Well, why don't you walk through? What are you walking through? What do you got? A nightstick? You got a taser? What do you got?
No, they don't give me much. I got a nightstick, but if I see anything, I'm supposed to just like call someone. I can't really like do anything or stop anyone, you know.
Yeah, then why don't you just walk through and be? Why don't you have a smile on your face? Maybe they'll talk to you more.
Yeah, maybe, I guess. I don't know. I'm also, like, a really short guy, so I think that's part of it. Like, people don't think I'm, like, they're not scared of me, you know what I mean? I'm not a big guy. Like, they're probably thinking, like, what is this guy doing in mall security?
Well, whatever. You're keeping an eye on stuff. All right, buddy.
What's that?
I said you're keeping an eye on stuff. That's what you're doing. It's all right.
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'm too short. I don't know.
I'll stop. You're doing a bit. You're doing a character now. I know you are. Thanks. Best of luck to you in your future endeavors. Okay. He goes back to it again. You know he's doing a character. This might have been a huge mistake doing this. Best show. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Jay from New York.
Jay from New York. Now, New York, when you say New York, that's a pretty big...
Like Long Island.
Long Island, okay. How are things on Long Island? Do you say on or in?
On Long Island, in the city.
Okay. So how are things on Long Island tonight?
They're fine, you know. No clouds. Pretty cold, and I'm watching TV, not doing much, and I saw your tweet, so I called in.
Great. What's going on tonight? We got a dream to tell me about?
A nightmare, almost. Yeah, nightmare. So this happened a couple weeks ago.
Let's hear about it.
Yeah, so it was basically, somehow I was driving on a road, and it turned out that I was a car, and the highway system turned into, like, a water slide.
So in your dream, you were a car.
Yeah, but I was also, like, transitioning into a person, and then, like, the highway turned into a water slide.
Okay.
So I started going up and down, you know, on the water slide, and it goes off a cliff, and I start falling into the water, like, in the ocean, I guess. And I start, you know, drowning because I don't know how to swim in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my dream version knew that. And then I just sort of jarred, like, I woke up, apparently I was covered in sweat, and I've been holding my breath in real life, so, like, I was kind of out of breath as I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like that, yeah.
Well, let's think what that could be about. There's obviously some fear of an accident or some sort of collision going on in that dream, right?
Right. I also don't know how to swim, and I've almost drowned like half a dozen times because I keep forgetting I don't know how to swim.
So that's a constant fear you have, is the fear of drowning.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Yeah.
Worst way to go.
Is that a fear that keeps coming up for you?
Yeah. Like, I went cliff diving last summer, mm-hmm. and I don't know how to swim, so I almost drowned again in real life.
Okay.
Because I just keep doing that, and it's pretty stupid.
Yeah, you might want to pick your spots. It sounds like you're bringing some of this on yourself.
Yeah, I'm learning how to swim right now, though. You know, weekly lessons. I'm like trying to not die.
Good. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to try not to die.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
So
but you know, I don't want to.
What's the closest you came to death, Jay?
Closest I came to death. Okay, so when I was four, I thought I could fly for some reason, so I jumped off a bunch of staircases and bashed my head on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up, and I was getting stitches in my head, and the doctor gave me a green lollipop, and now I have a scar on the front of my head.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the closest I came to dying.
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've also, like, fallen back. I've fallen so many times. I'm just, like, seeing it happen again. Wow. Same thing.
But you're still here, right?
Still alive, so it's
they can't
something.
Stop you. They can't stop you. They tried, right? They tried to stop you.
Yeah, they tried, but they didn't get their way.
No, you're still here.
100%.
Yeah, you're out living them. So what's going on? What are you? Is it you going to bed soon, Jay?
Yeah, I got work tomorrow morning. You know, so I'm gonna head on in sooner or later. But saw the tweet, so I decided to call in.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, buddy.
Of course. I really enjoy your work. So you have a great day.
You have a great night. Bye. That was nice. Talk to Jay. Yeah, because we're doing this show at night. Sunday night. It's late. Ain't no one... all the phones are lit up. They ain't lit up now, though. Let's see, I guess I gotta tweet it out now. Lines are open. Call in. There we go. Yeah. So what's coming up now that people are all excited about? Got that whole South by Southwest, huh? Isn't it fun when you don't go to a thing and then you see pictures for the thing and it's just like, oh, okay. Oh, that looks like either a lot of fun or a nightmare. The idea you see all the bands playing and you're just like, oh, man, that must have been so much fun to be there. And then you remember that it's just like everybody's probably just getting jostled all the time. Like, I think it's hard for me to get jostled as much as I used to. I don't enjoy getting bumped. It used to be, that seems to really set me off now. And being in, like, crowds, I kind of can't handle the crowds anymore. I'll be in a grocery store sometimes, it'll be too much. Ay, ay, ay. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom, this is Tom.
Hi, Tom. This is Tom. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm all right. What's going on?
Not too much. Just wanted to see if you could interpret one of my nightmares from recently.
Yeah. What do you got?
So, this is kind of a weird one. I've had a bunch of nightmares recently, but this one is the one that most needs interpretation. The other ones are, like, obvious. So, I'm with this bully, and we're, like, having a normal conversation. This guy who's bullied me in the past. And the subject of math somehow comes up, but in a way where he's just like asking me in some sort of natural way, oh, what's 6 to the 6th power? Some hard question. And I'm like, oh, that's obvious. It's 360. And it's like, in the dream, I think it's the right answer. And then he's like, no, you're an idiot. If it's 6 to the 6th power, it's much bigger than that. It's like 6 billion. And I get so angry, and I stand up, and I'm about to beat him up, and then I woke up. And I just want to know why. Why does that make me angry?
Well, let me ask you this. Are you actually good at math?
I mean, I'm not terrible at math. I'm not good at math. I'm not the guy, like, I'm the guy who's going to use a calculator. I'm not the guy who you ask to figure something.
Is there some, let me ask you this, my
sure.
friend.
Sure.
Do you have some sort of inferiority with your intellect?
I guess so. I mean, it's hard for me to admit. I'd like to think that I don't, because I got up with like a murderous rage mm-hmm. to kill this guy.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to think that I wouldn't react that way. But when I woke up, it was still there. It was hard to get rid of.
Sounds like, sounds like you've got some, because there are no such thing as math bullies. I think we can both agree on that. That's not a real life thing. Math
no.
bullies. So when you had to face down that math bully, you were creating your own thing here in your brain.
Yeah.
That represents something. And it would be fair to probably, maybe, possibly say it is the, you having some sort of feeling inferior with your schooling. What was your schooling like?
Not good. I mean, I was kind of a slacker in high school. Did a lot of skipping of the class. Not like a stoner or anything, or a you know, that kind of slacker, dazed and confused, but more just like, you know, school didn't agree with me, all the homework.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, everybody was always talking me up as a smart guy.
Do you regret that? Do you regret, does that hang on you?
I don't think so. You know, it seems kind of valuable. I'd rather that than be not smart. But I guess exhausting to even have to rate on that scale, you know?
No, I mean,
I've never thought of myself, I used to say, I'm either the smartest dumb guy or the dumbest smart guy, and I have no idea which one.
So it's clear, when you say things like that, it's clear you're loaded with issues.
Yes,
absolutely.
You don't
call yourself the smartest dumb guy or the dumbest smart guy unless you're struggling with that.
Yeah, that's true. You're correct.
Yeah, so you are.
But so what do I do? I don't want to learn math.
Maybe part
like,
of
what do I do to be less angry?
Wrapping your head around that you struggle with it,
okay,
and just admitting it, and then processing what it means, what that means to you.
Okay,
like what would it mean to you? What does it mean to you to not be as quote unquote smart? I'm not going to say it's actually you being smart or not smart. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you?
I guess just that somebody could get the better of me in that way, and it's scary, I guess, to ever be, you know, bested. And I don't like the idea of people, I guess, putting me in that position. Maybe it's because I accidentally put people in that position all the time where they feel dumb around me.
Because
like people have said that to me.
You're flaunting the things you know about.
Yeah, exactly.
But you feel like you've got these huge blind spots?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well,
I can't identify as smart because it's just going to mean that people are going to find me out. It's like a, mm-hmm. what do you call it, an imposter syndrome.
Yeah, well, then fill in some of the blind spots.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that, right?
Get
some schooling.
That's true.
You can still learn. You ain't done.
Yeah, that's true. It's just scary because I don't think of myself as an angry person, and here I am, like, about to kill somebody over a math problem.
It's clear it's an issue.
Yeah. I'm not saying I actually, you know, woke up and was like, wow, I'm going to now plan this out because this guy humiliated me in my dream.
I understand that. But it's something that's rattling around in your brain.
Yeah, that one stuck with me, definitely.
All right, well.
But I appreciate you helping me out. I think I got a foothold on it now.
You have a great night.
You too.
Best show, hi.
Hi, hello.
Hi, hello. To whom am I
speaking? Hi, how's it going? Just calling in to maybe talk about some dreams.
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, lately I've been having these really, my name is Barton, by the way, first time getting into call on the show, grateful to be here.
Hi.
So I've been having these dreams the last couple of nights that are really, like, epic in proportion, and they tend to be sort of cyclical. Like, I have to do the same weird task over and over again, and each time it somehow goes weirdly wrong. And last night I had this dream where I was in this kind of, like, Victorian-looking mansion, and in each one of the rooms there was, like, kind of a different weird play going on. And it was kind of a nightmare in the sense that maybe there was some stage fright involved or something like
that. Were you
that.
In
but
the play?
Also,
help me here. You were in the play?
Yeah.
You were in the play.
I was waiting in the wings to, like, be in the play, and I kept wanting to go on. I kept wanting to go on,
yeah.
But I never got to go on.
Yeah, well, you're frustrated you're not getting a chance to show everybody what you've got in life.
I think that might be accurate. I mean, I'm at a place where I'm in my actual life, you know. I play the piano, I write songs, I do this sketch comedy, improv these days, often at the PAC Theater in LA and stuff. But I feel like I'm half in it. It's a little bit of a half-hearted effort. And that might be what the dream was trying to tell me. You might be right.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're, it sounds like you've got some hang-ups with that you're not getting a chance to show who you are. You're not getting a chance to demonstrate your talents.
That sounds about right. I mean, I do have some opportunities to do stuff. I'm never satisfied. I don't know if you would call it OCD or just I want to be the best I can be. You know, I'm challenging myself in life to, befriend effort and realize I cannot transcend effort. And if I want to be really good, I got to stay home sometimes and practice and work on my craft and put, you know, on the piano and whatnot.
That's true. That's true. You're still working on your stuff when you practice.
Yeah, that's true. Also, weirdly, there's one specific in the dream that might be worth mentioning. There was a figure in the dream who I admired, who I guess I was kind of being an understudy for, and it was the actor Richard E. Grant, who I loved in With Nail and I, and this year got a lot of press, and I think won a SAG Award or something for Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get to go on and replace him. I just woke up. So anyway, ties into what you're saying.
Yeah, no, look, he's gotten a chance to show what he got recognized. He's one of those guys who always works, but now he got recognized relatively late in his career, which is exciting. It just shows that hopefully if you do good stuff at some point, you get some form of recognition, but you can't do the stuff for recognition either. You're not doing it for
right.
You're doing it because because you love it is the goal. I mean, that should be the purpose.
It is the goal, and it is the purpose. The admiration and applause no performer will say they don't like, and I'm first to admit I get a thrill out of it, but I'm doing this stuff because I love it. I play the piano because I love playing the piano.
Is that you?
I noticed also... Sorry?
Was that you?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm just sitting at my keyboard.
Can't help it, can you? Give us a little... Give me a little something. Then give me a little something.
Yeah. All right. A little something. It's kind of a cover of St. Vincent's Los Angeles, you know. In Los Angeles, the winter never comes. In Los Angeles, the mothers look the young, but I keep going, but now I'm feeling a little blushing. I'm not calling in to
you showed me what you got, and I don't like
it. You don't like it?
I love it. All right. Have a great day.
Oh, thank you. All right, thank you, Tom.
Best show. Hi. Hello.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Pierre in Ottawa.
Pierre in Ottawa. What's going on in Ottawa tonight, Pierre?
Not too much. It's starting to warm up here after a kind of crazy cold and snowy winter.
That's right.
How is it down in Jersey?
Kind of the same. Kind of the same. Yeah. We power through.
Yeah, we got to do what we got to do.
That's all we can do. So, Pierre, what else is going on? What do you got before we get into your dream or nightmare? What's the spring going to be like for you?
For me, it's probably going to be pretty mellow. I might be driving some bands on tours, but that's kind of up in the air right now.
Okay.
Mostly just hanging out, enjoying not being inside all the time.
That makes sense. You'll get to be out and about. You'll feel a little better. Feel a little bit better when you get the, you get that seasonal affective disorder. Do you suffer from that? I think everybody.
I don't have a little bit of it. I just have regular, constant, debilitating depression.
Okay. Just good old fashioned.
Just the normal one.
Capital D that's, depression.
That's happening all the time.
Yeah. Wow. So what do you got for you? Did you have a dream? Did you have something?
I actually have kind of the opposite. I have a lack of dreams. I pretty much never remember any of my dreams. Maybe one a year.
I'm closer to you. I mean, I remember more than that, but I don't remember my dreams the way all these other people do.
I don't know if it's a problem or if it's like just a thing that happens to some people. Like, I don't know if it's tied into the depression. Maybe that's the reason I'm so depressed all the time, is that I don't get to have the fun escape.
Well, this could be a sleep issue for you. Have you ever had your sleep analyzed?
I've never had like the clinical thing, but I pretty much get an 8-hour solid chunk of sleep every night,
you know,
without
so,
fail.
Do you like to read books, Pierre?
I have a hard time concentrating reading books.
Okay.
Sometimes it's possible, but usually I just fall asleep listening to a podcast.
Well, there's a book you can look at. Maybe there's an audio book of it. I don't know. That I'm halfway through reading this book called Why We Sleep.
Is there the author that you could give me as well?
Hold on.
Sorry.
Matthew Walker. Why We Sleep, Unlocking the Power of Sleep and Dreams.
All right.
And it helps chart what it means to not get quality sleep.
So you also don't have the dreams?
Not as much as I should. Not as much as others
do. Do you get restful sleep, though?
No, I'm a terrible sleeper.
Yeah, you don't.
The worst.
You don't get either of them.
No, it's a nightmare. No pun intended. It's not a nightmare. I wish it was a nightmare.
I do have, like, kind of this weird nightmare that I used to have when I was a kid, but I don't think it really means anything. But it was the reoccurring nightmare as my childhood kind of went on. I think about it from time to time, but it's not scary to me. It was just like I had to climb up a pipe or something, or a tunnel, and there was a timer, and every time I'd get exactly to the escape hatch or whatever it was, I'd be too late, and I'd be stuck in that drain or tunnel or whatever it was forever. And then I would wake up.
Yeah, that's that. A lot of these dreams that people are calling in with sound like they're frustration based, or they're very, like, that sounds like a frustration dream, like you're being limited in your life.
But I haven't had it probably in 10 or 15 years.
Yeah,
it was just like the one thing that I could ever remember.
The one that still hangs in your head.
the one that got away, I guess?
I don't know,
it's still there?
I don't know, Pierre. You'll get it. You'll get there.
I'll get there. I'll have those nightmares one day.
One day. One day those nightmares are waiting for you, and they'll be back.
I can't wait.
Check that book out, though. You might like it.
I will.
All right.
Thank you,
have
Tom.
A great night.
You as well.
Best show, hi. Hello? Hi, welcome to the best show. No? Hello, best show.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, to whom am I speaking?
This is Colette from Athens, Georgia.
Colette from Athens, Georgia. How are you, Colette?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. What's popping down there in Athens on a late Sunday night?
Oh, just doing some freelance work. It's been very, very, very long week.
It has, right?
Yeah, no, for real. I think that daylight savings time is a curse. Everyone seems to get real sad when there's no sun out, but I could do with less of it.
You might be in the minority on that one.
I know that I am, but it's like one of those things where I have to work so much that I don't get to enjoy it. So like everyone should experience the misery with me.
Sure, it's kind of a take your ball and go home kind of move you're making there.
Only my ball is the sun.
Yes, your ball. It's the biggest ball of them all. Yeah, it's a weird time before spring actually shows up and it actually gets warmer for good, and it's very strange because there was a couple days ago up here it was really warm.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day later it was miserable again, and it's just like, how on earth are you supposed to just ride this ride? I don't understand what's expected of us to navigate this. Like,
I think the answer is like you just get the flu and then you are in bed for like a week, and it's like it never happened.
That might be the only way through it, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a dream or a nightmare?
I do. I don't know if it's a dream or a nightmare. It's a dream, but I don't know if it's like a good one or a bad one. So I guess I should kind of lead into it. I fell asleep the other night, watching, as I usually do, early 90s pro wrestling. And what I was specifically watching was footage of the Jesse the Body Ventura Strongest Arm contest. Which is an arm wrestling contest, and my dream involved an arm wrestling contest where I was the competitor, like in the movie Over the Top, and I was doing really well. Like I was beating everyone, these like huge burly dudes, slamming their arms down to the table and like getting my flex on until my final opponent, who was me. Like I had to arm wrestle myself. And like, you know, like that, like questions that like stoners ask themselves, like when they're like, could God like microwave a burrito so hot that he couldn't eat it or whatever?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, it was like that, but with like arm wrestling, like can somebody beat themselves at arm wrestling? And the answer was no. Like it just went on forever. Like I was like staring into my own eyes, like trying to win the arm wrestling contest, and it just wasn't happening. Like I think eventually I just like blacked out. The dream ended,
so you
but like
lost.
It took. I didn't lose. Like it just didn't end.
Yeah. Well, that's the only way you can't win it, because that's what I was going to say. If you said that you lost, it means you won. But
yeah, it's so weird.
You also can think that if you was it in front of a crowd.
Yeah, it was like a underground, like an illegal underground, karate tournament setting.
Yeah, because, you know, those arm wrestling rings, they need to shut down. You can't just have people arm wrestling.
Yeah, it's human cockfighting.
What would the world be if that was something that could be done legally?
It's really not acceptable behavior.
Arm wrestling?
No.
No,
yeah.
arm wrestling's not great for some reason. I don't think of it as something that's particularly positive. Not that I think of it as negative, but it's not positive either. It's
like the lowest form of combat.
It's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like, what would it kind of be just like? Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself. Like, it's almost got like a quality of that in it.
Yeah.
Like, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Oh my God. Yeah. That was my least favorite thing as a kid. Why are you hitting yourself? Some bigger kid just grabbing your arm and making you punch yourself and then asking you why you're hitting yourself is
right,
the most frustrating thing ever.
It's so horrible. But, you know, if you wanted to, you could have trained so that that one arm got super beefy and then you could hit him back.
Like Hellboy.
Yes.
Yeah. I made the mistake of watching the other night. I couldn't sleep. So naturally, what movie do you think I threw on?
Hellboy.
Kronos.
Oh, no.
And I was just like, why am I doing this to myself? Why am I doing this to myself? And I shut it off. Oh, my God. Did I what?
Did you sleep well that night?
I don't sleep well in general, Colette. So
yeah, me neither.
It didn't matter.
I think we've had this conversation before. You asked me how many pillows I had, and I said I had one. Like, I don't sleep too well. Five.
You need five. You need to build a little pillow wall.
Did you see that the MyPillow guy was at the CPAC convention?
Of course he was. I didn't know that, but that was not a hard one to be. I'm not surprised by that. Of course he is.
Yeah, what a sad convention.
But just think about it from a business standpoint. If I had a business like MyPillow, where my goal is to sell it to anyone that has a head and that sleeps, basically, like that anyone who sleeps and has a head is a potential customer.
Right.
I'll tell you this. I wouldn't show up at CPAC. I wouldn't show up at anything that would, no offense, I would not isolate any customer if I was selling pillows. I would not want to lose one potential sale. I would take care of my own business politically however I wanted to with money or whatever. Like you could do whatever you want as a private citizen. But it's like if I'm in the pillow selling business, why would I lose half the country right now? Like half the country, if they find out he's there, just like, well, I'll tell you the last thing I'm buying, my pillow.
He just wants you to know that his pillows support the troops. That's all.
He's politicizing pillows.
It's truly impressive.
He's not there for any. It's not just like, it's not just this thing where it's like, hey, did you hear that? What was that dude's name? Pat, remember, what am I blanking on? Guy wrote speeches for Nixon. Pat Buchanan. It's like Pat Buchanan. It's like, hey, did you hear Pat Buchanan designed a pillow? Like, like where he's known as a political guy first. And it's like, yeah, he made this pillow. It's very comfortable, very easy to sleep on. And then you'd make your choice based on that. Where you're just like, look, I hate Pat Buchanan, but this is a nice pillow. It's a guy who's known for selling pillows has to now go and be like, well, I think what's really important is that I tell everyone how I feel about politics. The pillow guy.
Yeah.
It's like, especially if you're like some like right wing, like person's like, you're supposed to be interested in getting as much money as you can. Why would you? Although that's not true. There's plenty of people like, yeah, you know how no Democrats grab piles of money? It's like, that's not true either. But there's that whole thing where it's just like any successful person that's a business person like that would generally be like, oh, my goal is to get as much money as I can get my filthy hands on. And now the MyPillow guy has potentially turned off 50% of America.
Yeah. It's not a wise choice, but maybe he figures that people are just going to buy, like, extra pillows to make up for the less customers.
I guess maybe he just figures that people just, yeah, I'm going to buy five of those things now.
Yeah.
To support. Yeah. Or you could go buy five MyPillows to build your pillow.
Just a pillow fort of memory foam.
Yeah. Yes.
Horrifying.
And you go to sleep, get that blue shirt on that the MyPillow. That would be the thing. If that dude can manage to sell those shirts, then I'll be impressed.
Yeah. Does he have a nightcap? He needs to have a nightcap.
Yeah, that same, like, what color blue is that? Those shirts. He's got the blue shirt with the cross. And
It's like the kind of blue that you see at, like, gender reveal parties.
Yes. We know the gender of the baby.
The MyPillow guy.
Baby's going to be the MyPillow. What? You're giving birth to the MyPillow guy. Oh, no. Everybody
That's
leaves.
The true time machine scenario. Oh,
everybody leaves. That's like the new Hitler. That's like the new Hitler killing Hitler as a baby, is killing the MyPillow guy as a baby. Go back in time. Little kid designing a little pillow. I can't do it. He's still a little kid. Damn it. Even though he goes on to create my pillow, the ultimate evil, I cannot in good conscience murder a child. My pillow guy. I would say your dream, it sounds, again, like every other dream everybody seems to be calling with, it sounds like frustration.
Yeah.
Some sort of, you're obviously just literally wrestling with yourself.
Yeah.
You knew that. Can you tell me, Colette, can you tell me about the 1 year that they actually were wrestling, they tried to do it without making it, where they tried to do it real? What was that?
There was a tournament called Brawl for All, I think.
Okay.
This happened in, like, 1998. Like, UFC was just starting to be a thing. So WWF got all of their tough guy wrestlers together and had them do fake boxing matches. So, like, it was wrestlers legit punching each other in the face. And it was awful. Everyone hated it. And, like, the wrong dude won. Like, they brought in somebody who they thought was going to win. And he got knocked out by this dude who had, like, a really solid left punch. Uh-huh. So as a reward for winning the Brawl for All tournament, they booked this dude, Bart Gunn, in a boxing match against Butterbean.
Yeah, great Butterbean, star of the Jackass. He was in Jackass.
Yeah, and Butterbean, like, wiped the mat with him, like, 15 seconds. And then that dude's wrestling career was over, and he probably has CTE, so,
yeah.
So
this was a tournament because they were just like, man, we're losing our edge here. Like,
yeah.
our thing looks corny.
Right.
So they were
They had legit UFC guys in wrestling, like, even back then, but, like, UFC was a thing where, like, people would fight in, like, one night tournaments, and it would be, like, a bunch of bikers and then dudes who knew, like, jiu-jitsu or whatever. Like, it was really weird. So they were trying to get that edge.
So they were in the middle of this thing, still bouncing off the ropes, though?
No. They set up, like, weird, like, hybrid rules between boxing and MMA. So, like, if you got in the ropes, like, the referee would, like, break you, and, like, it was pretty much regular boxing.
So that was the one time. So that's the thing I'm thinking of, is that the time that they tried to make wrestling.
I think so. Can you describe more of it? There might be something else that I could explain.
I don't know. I think I saw a thing where one time they tried to do it real and it was terrible.
Yeah.
This happened.
I think that's called mixed martial arts.
Okay. Yeah. Which it's that looks like it looks so. It looks like such great entertainment when one of the MMA fighters falls or gets knocked down, and then the other fighter moves in and then is just like, now I'm going to cave your head in
while you're
down. It's like, no, it's not enough that you're down. Now I'm going to make you bleed.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
What a good time.
Brock Lesnar is in wrestling now, so that kind of is a thing.
And what about what's-his-face? CM Punk.
Oh, CM Punk? I think that he is permanently out of both MMA and pro wrestling. He's got kind of washed in one field and is kind of bitter and resentful about the other.
Because he was the guy blowing the lid off of wrestling.
Right, yeah, he was making wrestling real by calling Vince McMahon a doofus. I think that was actually what he called Vince McMahon, was a doofus.
With his
very strong fighting words.
Oh no, please! That's like his network routine. That's like he was like in network, telling everybody.
Right, yeah.
So wait a minute. You mean to tell me that wrestling is completely crooked and treats people like garbage and like cattle? What? I'm not even a fan of wrestling, and I knew that. Like, this whole
Yeah, everyone
day,
acts
man.
Surprised every year.
He seems like he also has bad, like, shockingly bad taste in music, but he thinks he's got really good taste in music.
CM Punk?
Yeah.
Yeah, he, like, I think his favorite band is, like, probably, like, Rancid, and that's, like, as hard as he goes.
Like, people are just like, you know, he's probably at things that people are like bringing like real like punk up to him and stuff. And he's just like, yeah, like running into him. He's like, hey, did you hear the new punk thing. And he'd just be like, yeah, I didn't hear that. I don't know, man. I don't have to tell you. I'm not that into it.
Yeah, I wouldn't know either. Like, that dude could probably fool me, but,
seems like he likes a lot of Fugazi, like just Waiting Room by Fugazi.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, yeah, I like Fugazi. It's like, oh, well, did you hear the thing? Nah, I like that one song.
They're like, what's the straight edge punk band? Is that Minor Threat?
Yes, they were.
Yeah, that's what he likes, Minor Threat. He's straight edge.
But
he's got that tattooed on his stomach.
He would have, look, Minor Threat, that's some of the best stuff ever, but it's also pretty basic at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty, like, step two.
Yeah, exactly. It's a pretty clear entry point for Minor Threat.
Right.
Colette, thank you for calling.
No problem.
Have a grand evening.
All right, talk to you soon.
Yes, bye. Best show, hi. Sure. Did you just burp?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I apologize. I was literally telling my girlfriend I need to be on call because I didn't want to be the guy acting like an idiot when I call in.
So. It sounded like you literally went, ugh.
I apologize.
That's all right. To whom am I speaking?
This is Roger from Dallas.
Roger from Dallas. You say it like I should know you, Roger.
Oh, no, I'm just very excited, and thanks for picking up, Tom. That's awesome, and doing the secret show tonight.
Welcome. Roger, welcome.
Well, thank you. Do you want me to get straight to the topic?
You can tell me what's going on. What's up?
Nothing. My girlfriend and I, our nightly routine is we watch Larry Sanders as we go to bed, mm-hmm. Especially on the weekends since there's not, like, live late-night TV or late-night shows on. And that's pretty much about it. Not really much exciting going on Sunday night. That's why when I saw your tweet, I was like, oh, I got some dream stuff I could bring up.
Roger, give me the top five Rogers of all time.
Ooh, as a kid, I got Roger Rabbit. Roger Dodger was the common one, which I didn't really understand until, like,
Wait,
a movie
these are,
came
these
out.
These are nicknames. No, give me these. You're giving me your nicknames?
Yeah, I can't. The top five Rogers I can only think of off the top of my head is Roger Rabbit, and then as a kid growing up, I got the Roger Rabbit and Roger Dodger.
Yeah, but what are your no? You have no Roger. There are no heroes named Roger that you idolized.
Oh man, off the top of my head, I can't immediately go to it.
Roger, oh, my from goodness. Family Guy. You like him? No, from American Dad. You like that Roger, right?
The alien?
Yeah, he's a hero of yours.
Yes, yeah, he's a hero of mine. Sure, Roger Avery. Isn't he like a James Bond?
There you go.
Okay.
Roger Daltrey?
Daltrey?
From The Who?
That's a, is that the Survey Says guy? No, that's
he's
Richard
Dawson.
He's
the lead singer of The Who.
Oh, my gosh, that's so embarrassing. I should have known that.
Roger, okay. What other Rogers are there? Come on.
I know, especially since that's my name. You would imagine I would just be able to start whipping these out.
You'd think you'd remember other Rogers, Roger.
Yeah, yeah. All I'm going to is Roger Avery and Roger Dodger.
Okay.
And Roger Dodger's not a person, so.
You can't even do five Rogers. And Roger the alien from American Dad.
Yeah, my favorite out of all of them.
That turns out to be your favorite one by default.
Yes.
And Roger Rabbit, a close second.
Yeah, apparently all my most famous Rogers are not live, like they're just fictional things when you actually ask for real people.
Let's hear your impression of Roger Rabbit.
Oh, man.
Or Roger from American Dad.
Okay, I can try and do both.
At the same time?
Ooh, how about I can do Roger from American Dad doing Roger Rabbit? No,
give me just Roger from American Dad. Here we go. Go.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Doesn't he sound something like, oh, guys, yeah, wow, something like that?
Very good. Shockingly good. You exceeded my expectations on that one, Roger. I'll give you that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, nailed it. Okay.
Roger, what are your favorite? What's the best song and worst song on the White Album?
On the Beatles' White Album?
Wait, does somebody else have a White Album? Not Weezer.
No, that's true. Well, right. Man.
Have you ever seen a band talked about more by people who like and don't like them than Weezer?
It's funny you said that because we saw the SNL skit. On rerun last night where they kind of went back and forth on that.
I didn't see that. Well, and first of all, it's a sketch. It's not a skit, Roger. It's not being done in seventh grade. If it was a bunch of seventh graders, you'd call it a skit. It's a bunch of trained professionals writing at the level of seventh graders.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, that was always the topic, and unfortunately I fall in the category of, I was a big, once Pinkerton, was done, that the Blue Album and Pinkerton were great and everything after that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't bad, because I don't think that's fair to trash on people for working hard on something like that, that's his own thing, but at the same time, also. I'm just saying my favorites were those two. I'm sorry.
But he kind of sucks too, at the same time.
Rivers?
Some of those or things the band. Are pretty bad. I heard that song Can't Knock the Hustle. I was like, this is one of the worst things I ever heard in my life. And again, I'm also just like, yeah, what's a guy supposed to do? Crawl in a hole and not do anything? I get it. It's a conundrum.
No, and when I was younger, that's where, you have that pretentious attitude of, well, nothing can top this. And then he tries a different tune or vibe. And then, as the older I got, like I said, I'm not going to hate on that. It's just not my flavor, and that's okay.
Let's figure the top. Let's figure, okay. Best two and worst two songs on the White Album.
On the White Album, I'm just going off what's coming off the top of my head. It's the, I'm so embarrassed to say this. Well, now this will go worse. How about Rocky? Is it Rocky Raccoon?
Rocky Raccoon is pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. And, man, I really don't like the Back in the USSR, and that's how they start off the album, correct?
It is. Wow.
Yeah. But saying that, though, at the same time, those songs I actually like and could listen to, but those are just the two worst on the album. I don't know, Rocky is pretty bad, the more you think about
it. Rocky Raccoon's terrible, yeah. What would be the best two?
Well, I'm a weirdo. What's the one where they just keep on saying number nine? Oh, it would probably be number nine, right?
Revolution number nine.
Yeah. There's another really good one on there.
You're probably not in the majority saying Revolution Number 9 is one of the best song, the best two on the record.
Well, some of the best sound quality of the week you get is your sound collages. That's why, number nine over and over again.
Did I say you were wrong? I didn't say you were wrong. I just said you were not in the majority. So what could be the best? What would be one of the other best two songs on it?
Oh, goodness. I haven't listened to it forever.
Happiness is a Warm Gun, maybe?
Oh, yes. That's the best one. I'm sorry. That would be my favorite out of all of them. It's just because that also put a standard for, I feel like, other songs out there that kind of copycat it after that.
That's right. You did it. Very good. So tell me, Roger, about your dream.
Just had common things that other people experience that I think are shared that I didn't know until I got older. A buddy of mine, his common thing he had is, which I experienced too, is if you're trying to fight in a dream, or not even necessarily fight, but your fists are like moving at extremely slow speeds.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought whenever I was in a struggle or something and that would happen, and I was always like, oh, why is this happening? And didn't realize that was a common thing other people had. And we got on discussion of other common things that people have in dreams, and I guess like teeth falling out is another one.
Yeah, but what's the one that you have that hangs in your brain?
So actually, the most common thing I have that hasn't happened in a while, but it's called the Man in Black, and I used to think it was just something I experienced and ever since a child, and basically it's the sleep paralysis. I don't know if you're familiar or have heard about it.
Oh, you have to tell me about sleep paralysis, buddy.
Oh dear. Yeah.
How many times have you had it happen to you, sleep paralysis?
Oh man, in my entire life, in the double digits, easy.
I've had it happen so many times. I mean, I probably have had it happen 100 times easily.
Did you happen to have it first happen when you were like a child?
Yeah, it's happened most of my life.
Yeah, okay, that's when I remember first experiencing it is, I would share a bunk bed with my brother, and, the first, times I remember happening where you just can't speak, you can't say anything, you're trying to scream and do whatever you can, and you're just literally, paralyzed.
And somebody walking by would just hear you just going,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, in your mind, you're going, get me out of here! I can't move! I'm stuck! I'm stuck in my brain. Someone, please rescue me. I'm doing everything I can.
Like, is this the rest of my life? Oh, no, yeah.
The worst. The worst.
Yeah. Yes. And that kind of, like I said, that follows that is this Man in Black character or whatever, and that also is something that caused upon it, or that causes, I feel like, the sleep paralysis is, this like image of something. It's a more of a silhouette, and it's a figure. And I'm not a person. I'm not believing like any paranormal stuff. I don't trash on it either. But I just feel like there's typically more so an explanation for things than not. But anyway, that would cause the sleep paralysis and stuff. And then the older I got, a little trick I kind of did. And I don't know if it came from Kill Bill, but in my dream I was able to wiggle my toe. That would be able to kind of help me get me out of the sleep paralysis.
Anything you can do to break that plane of unreality.
Yeah.
Anything you can do to bring a different state into it. You do.
It's very bizarre.
It is bizarre. It's the worst.
Yeah, and it's. I'm glad. I mean, I feel horrible. You experience that at the same time. There's some weird. I a little comfort that other people do experience that, so then you're not alone out there, because you're trying to explain to some people and they're like, what do you mean you can see everything that's going on, you can't move, or and it's like, I don't, that's exactly what it is.
Oh, it's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
The worst.
I guess it kind of makes sense seeing that classic pain, I guess, of like some demon like figure standing over, hunched over a person in bed, and I think that was like some type of way of artist trying to describe the feeling of it, and I was like, oh, that's pretty accurate.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Roger. Mm-hmm. All right. You have a great night.
Thanks Tom. You too.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Nice guy. Roger. This is a good show. We're an hour or so in. We'll do 2 hours tonight. Lock that in, right? Then maybe we'll even do one after that, depending on, speaking of not being able to sleep. Let's see. We tell people to call. Squeaky mic. Stand. Beep, boop, ba-doop, boop, boop. Right? Best show, hi. Hello?
Tom!
Yes.
Oh my god, I called and called and called and nothing.
Well, that's what happens when it's a solo act.
Yeah.
To whom am I speaking?
This is Sean in Orange County, California.
Sean, what's going on?
Well, I saw you tweeting to call in, and I'm calling in.
And here you are.
And my nightmare is...
What's your nightmare?
Tom answering the phone.
Oh, stop. Stop, buddy. What's a bad dream you get, or a good dream?
Oh, man. Bad dreams always revolve around teeth.
Yeah? Teeth falling out?
Well, I mean, that's the dream, yeah.
Well, that means something. I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah, I don't
know. What are
the
best
either.
Two and worst two songs on the White Album?
Oh, don't ask me. I'm not a big Beatles fan.
All right. Well, Sean... I appreciate the call.
Tom?
Yeah?
I'm the Sean who asked the question at the Ant-Man press conference.
What? You are?
Yeah.
Well, you, sir, are a champion in my eyes. You did it. You took it right to him. Right down the gullet, huh? Right down the gullet, you took it, you set it right in front of all of them. Rudd, Feige, Fishburne, Lily, Reed, you set it right to all of them. I tip my hat to you. Am I supposed to send you something? Did I not send you something?
I don't care, I mean...
It would be a journalistic conflict if you did anyway. I wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy you. When you did that, give me the thought behind that. Because the Ant-Man 2 press conference, because I got cut out of both Ant-Man movies. I did a thing for the first Ant-Man movie where I sold Paul Rudd a lottery ticket in it, and that whole section got cut out. Then the second movie... John Worster and I played. We were goons. Walton Goggins, his goons, driving around chasing after Ant-Man and the Wasp, and trying to catch them. And then our scene got cut. So then you go to the press conference. Give me the thought behind this. You're there in a journalistic capacity.
Yes, but there are press conferences and. Often, I don't go to them to ask questions because there are a bunch of loons who ask questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I had a good question.
Yeah. You wanted to know, would I be cut out of the third movie if Peyton Reed directed it? Were there plans to make a third movie? And if so, will you be cutting Tom Sharpling out of it?
And that's it, because, I mean, Ant-Man and the Wasp is a very fun movie.
It is.
I want another adventure with them.
It could have been one notch
more fun. But I want Sharpling to be in that movie.
I'm telling you, I better be in this third one. This third one, I better get like a real good scene in it. Look out, Ant-Man!
Oh, no. You should save his life.
Yeah, right? I got your back, Ant-Man. Maybe me and Ant-Man do patty cake, baker's man. You know that thing? And you like...
I've heard of it.
Well, you do that when you do this patty cake thing, and then the villains watch you do it, and they get so hypnotized by it that then you just punch their lights out because they're so busy watching you do patty cake. Bake me a cake as fast as you can, and then you punch on can.
I hope Peyton Reed's listening.
He's not. No one is right now. No one is. This is not happening live. But
on Tuesday.
When this airs, yes, I hope he's listening too. I hope everybody should tweet at him and just say, like, what's the ETA on Ant-Man, on Sharpling being in Ant-Man 3?
Yes, people need to know.
What if it's called Ant-Man and the Wasp, and I get, like, and the whatever. Like, I'm a character, too, right?
Yeah.
Dynamo
and Tom.
Dynamo Joe. What if my name's Dynamo Joe? I gotta get in one of these movies. Endgame. Right? Look out, Ant-Man.
I mean, there's always a need for a sidekick.
Well, I want, yeah, that's true. Sean, you're a sweet guy. You made me very happy.
Thank you, Tom.
I wish you a great night. Bye.
You too.
Thank you. Bye. Best show, hi. Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the best show.
Hi, Tom. This is Tom from North Carolina.
Tom from North Carolina. How are you, Tom?
I'm okay. I saw the message online, and I called to talk about dreams. How are you tonight?
I'm all right. Well, give me the top three Toms of all time.
I can give you the top three that come into my mind, but let's see.
It's your list. It's your list, buddy.
The first two, I got Tom DeLonge, Tom Lennon. Help me with the third one.
Me!
All right.
It's your third one. Tom DeLonge. So the guy from Blink-182, the guy from Reno 911. What are all the numbers? Right?
You're right. I might be subconscious.
Give me what are the best and worst two songs on the White Album?
It's funny because I just listened to disc one only of the White Album.
Yeah.
And so would you ask for the best and worst?
What are the best two songs and the worst two songs?
I feel like Honey Pie might be the worst, although I feel like some people might try to justify it being strangely good, but I also don't like Rocky Raccoon.
Yeah, Rocky Raccoon sucks. I asked one other person this same thing, and they said Rocky Raccoon first. And I think Rocky Raccoon might be the worst Beatles song. Either that or Maxwell's Silver Hammer.
So, I think that,
so go ahead.
Obladi
Oblada, you think that sucks?
I don't like it that much. I remember liking it when I was younger, but then in this last listen, it came on and it was kind of jarring. You know, I wasn't like that familiar with the track listing anymore, and it shook me out of it.
What do you think the best two are?
Like I said, I did not get around to the second half of it on this last listen, but I like
Dear Prudence.
I don't think it's the best one, but I think Don't Pass Me By is super fun.
What? That's better than Happiness is a Warm Gun?
Oh, no. I mean, I even just said I don't think it's the best one. I think it's really fun. It jumped out last time. Happiness is a Warm Gun is great.
What's the other best one then? What's the other best one? Happiness is a warm, yes it is. See, I could have been in the Beatles.
Right?
Well, you just ruined my moment, Tom. You just ruined my moment. You took it from me. You took my moment from me.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I thought I was you blew it joining down. In.
No, no. Where in North Carolina are you from, Tom?
I've been in Asheville for a long time, but now I'm kind of in a weird no man's land. Okay. It's called Colfax, specifically.
All right. How's that working for you?
It's not, but...
It's not.
You know, fair I'm making enough. Do.
Fair enough. What, give me the dream stuff now. On to the dreams.
Well, it has to do with Yanni, and I wonder how, as a prog rock fan, how do you feel about Yanni?
I don't. You might as well ask me about Raffi. Neither of them have anything to do with my definition of prog.
I understand. I was curious about Yanni, specifically the Live at the Acropolis album, because I had heard about it for a while. I always grew up with Yanni being, like, basically the punchline of a joke, you know? Yeah. Like, all I knew about Yanni.
To be fair, I don't know much about Yanni. Maybe I'm missing out on some brilliance. I don't know.
That's where I was at. And I remember, you know, those 33 and a third books, the tiny books?
Oh, yeah.
There's one about this Yanni album, Live at the Acropolis, and I always saw that, and I was like, oh, maybe there's something I'm missing out on about Yanni. Mm-hmm. And I've been buying CDs from thrift stores just to kind of check stuff out. I saw a copy of Yanni. I bought it. And I didn't listen to it right away. That night, I went to sleep, and I had this dream that I was listening to the Yanni CD that I just bought,
mm-hmm.
and not only that, I kind of shifted into the point where I was, like, watching the concert, you know, with the whole symphony and everything, and I hadn't ever heard, like, a note of Yanni music, but I woke up the next morning thinking, like, I wish that I could remember the music that I invented, like what my idea of Yanni was in my dream mind, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you wish the Yanni you dreamt was what Yanni sounded like.
And I wish I could remember, I wish I could have a, like, recording of this music that I invented for Yanni.
Buddy, we wish we could, if we could film our dreams and capture our dreams, you'd be a billionaire if you could do that. Yeah, and you wouldn't just be focusing on live Yanni records.
I really wouldn't.
You'd have bigger fish to fry than bringing to life the live Yanni thing you dreamt. This sounds like Olympic. I'm listening to some Yanni Live at the Acropolis now. It sounds like Olympics music.
You know what? You know, I finally listened to it. And I listened to it, like, a few times because I was like, maybe I'm still missing something. And, you know what I landed on is that Yanni sounds just sounds like Dave Matthews Band with, like, some orchestral flourishes.
Yeah, no,
but then there'll be like a...
This is not for me. God bless you if it's for you. Yanni's not for me. This is not doing it for me. I just listened to a little bit of Santorini by Yanni.
Yeah, I don't know if it did the trick for me either, but... you know, I'll just take it back to the thrift store, and that'll be that.
Yeah, go get your money back at the thrift store. They love when you do that.
I just meant, you know, drop it back off.
Oh, just give it back off. Okay. I thought you'd be like, oh, excuse me, I'd like a refund on this Yanni CD that I paid $1 for.
It wasn't what I expected.
Yeah. This is not what I had intended to buy. Yeah. Can you speak to the manager, please? And then they're just like...
And then I'll tell them about the dream.
Dude, just grab another CD off the pile, you jerk. Like, they would just be like, like, we can't get rid of CDs anymore. They're clogging our inventory.
It's sort of, I've been capitalizing on it because I'm driving a car that has a CD player for the first time in a while, and I'm kind of getting back into CDs, like, you know, like listening to one album over and over again for a while, like, you know, in the car.
Good for you, buddy. You're figuring out. You cracked the code. All right. You have a great night.
Thank you.
Best show. Hi. Hello. Hi. Best show.
Hi. Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Antonia in Brooklyn.
Antonia in Brooklyn. What's going on, Antonia?
Nothing. I was actually about to go to sleep, and then I opened Instagram, which I shouldn't do before bed, and I saw the post, and so I thought I would call.
Well, I appreciate you doing that, firstly. Secondly, how are you?
I'm fine. I feel like I gotta get up early, and so I'm feeling like I should be asleep already. And maybe it's not the best idea to call a radio show.
That's all right. We'll send you off with a good mindset for you to go to sleep.
Okay, great, excellent.
So what? Tell me, Antonia, who is your favorite Antonia of all time, except yourself, exempting yourself? Who's another Antonia that you are glad you share the name with?
Oh my gosh. Oh God. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I have one. There was this movie that my parents showed me when I was too young called Antonia's Line. That was about like this sort of really strong matriarch. So she was cool. I also read about a saint recently. Like, I was curious if there was a saint named Antonia, because it seemed likely, and she suffered, like, sexual abuse and all this stuff, and was a hero. These are not good answers, but those are the two that came to mind. Women who have suffered adversity and come out, you know, on top.
That's a great answer.
Do you know any? I've met very few in my life.
I don't. That's why I was wondering if it was, because sometimes your own name will resonate with you and when you hear it. So I was wondering if it had stuck with you.
I'm the one, I guess. I'm resonating with myself.
What's a song you like to listen to when you're down?
Oh, well, recently, and I know you'll like this, Hope is a dangerous thing for a woman like me to have. Definitely. By Lana Del Rey.
You like Lana Del Rey?
I love Lana Del Rey.
She's the best.
Yeah. When do you think that, I feel like she's been, this is tantalizing because there were two new songs in the fall and then that one came out recently. Do we have any idea when the new album will come out?
I don't know. I figure when she's ready, she will just suddenly, it'll fall from the sky. Like, records seem to now just fall from the sky. Like, suddenly be like, hey, it's out at midnight.
That's right. Well, it wasn't always that way. Yeah.
Don't you feel that people are starting to appreciate her more now? Like, there seems to be some sort of awareness of her being legit finally?
I'm not aware of that. I hope so. You're really one of the few like public figures that I've been very happy to see, like, you know, give her the respect she deserves.
I think she's legitimately a genius. Because I'll say like how great she is, and people will be like, you were joking about that, right? I'm like, no, I'm not joking about it. She's amazing. I really do feel that for what Lou Reed did for documenting like New York City culture and stuff, she does for Los Angeles. Just really getting that, the kind of the underbelly of things and really bringing that to life and painting pictures of that. She's very, she's fantastic. What's your favorite song of hers of all the songs?
Oh my gosh. I really love 13 Beaches.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's
beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, that most recent one. I mean, I just feel like it's, yeah, she also, I agree with you about the LA thing. I also feel like she, her persona, you know, it's as like honestly, sometimes the lyrical content will verge on kind of like problematic when I think about it as like a woman, you know, he hit me and it felt like a kiss, et cetera. But it's actually like capturing something really nuanced, you know, like
yes.
That actually, you know, it's a sort of side of us. It's not like our whole selves, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like actually Lou Reed, the comparison is apt there too, you
and
know, like
the ugliness of things. And,
mm-hmm.
there's that, you know, that, yeah, ugliness is a fair way to, I think a fair way to sum it up, right?
Yeah. Yeah. In my biz, I mean, there's this thing like, internalizing the aggressor is a thing we talk about. Like, so when I think about her lyrics that are sometimes like the sort of him, he hit me and it felt like a kiss, et cetera. Like I think about that. And I think about how we're all kind of guilty of going to those. We all have those sort of dark sides that maybe
yes.
Like,
well, did you,
know, you
ever, for that line specifically, there's a 60s mm-hmm. song called He Hit Me and It Felt Like a Kiss. Did you ever hear that song?
No, I didn't
group.
Know that.
It's
yeah.
It's a song, I think, by, like, the Crystals, maybe, is a song he hit me and it felt like a kiss. It's kind of like one of those songs you can't believe anyone would would think is, like, a good, like, yeah, let's have these ladies sing this song. yeah, it is the Crystals. I'm looking at the lyrics right now. He hit me and it felt like a kiss. He hit me, but it didn't hurt me. He couldn't stand to hear me say that I'd been with someone new. And when I told him I'd been untrue, he hit me and it felt like a kiss. He hit me and I knew he loved me. Oh my God. Can you believe that this, like, this is, everyone should be arrested. Like, I think it was written by who? That's right. Carole King and Jerry Goffin wrote that.
Oh, God.
They should pull the song off, pull the show off Broadway. Shut it down. cancel Carole King.
Oh, God.
Carole King, you've been canceled for the song you wrote in 1962. No, it's a horribly out-of-date, gross thing. But that's the weird thing about her doing that song, because that's not something that everybody knows. And look, you're like a legit fan of hers, and you
mm-hmm.
you are a legit fan of music, and that reference was not something you knew, because that's such an arcane reference to this
mm-hmm.
this Crystal song that has pretty much, I guess, been scrubbed from, like, yeah, you're not gonna hear that on the radio. It's hard, like, it's,
no.
But it's such a thing that she's putting that in a lyric, and she's opening herself up to misinterpretation, I guess. That's what people who make art do.
Right.
So that's right. That's why she's the real deal. I love her.
Yeah, and you can get to those problematic places yourself, like maybe because of the relationship you're in, or even just like a thought you have, and like it's good to not deny that, you know, like to sort of identify with it and kind of acknowledge it and think about it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So so do you have a dream that comes to mind?
Yeah, I had a dream recently that I really liked. You know this, is it called a terrarium, where it's like you buy a thing that's like got a plants in a sort of glass sphere, that sort of thing? Anyway, it was mm-hmm. like that. I was sort of, I'm doing a PhD in clinical psychology, and I'm beginning to work on my dissertation, and so in the dream I was sort of like in a research lab, but it existed in this glass sphere. But the sphere was sort of protected from the outside world, which was this like post-apocalyptic, like post-climate change sort of hellscape.
Okay.
and like there was an explosion and this lava just sort of like came from the sky and sort of poured down the sphere we were in, but didn't, you know, penetrate it. And someone in the office was like, oh yeah, sorry, like that happens. Like it was sort of like par for the course in this post-apocalyptic world. So that was the sort of main thing that happened. And then I like opened up a computer and like opened up a specific version of Excel, and like my dissertation data was like beautiful. It was like pink and green and sort of like growing like a plant, like in the computer. And it was really positive. Like my advisor was like, oh, that's really good. Like it's good that it's doing that, you know?
Do you have any interpretation for that?
Well, like, I guess some like kind of rocky things had happened and in my personal life, not like horrible, but, you know, rocky enough. And this felt like, but you're doing your PhD and you're doing your research and like those things are good. So like you have that to kind of hold on to when stuff outside is like exploding, mm-hmm. kind of. That was my thought.
That makes sense. And that just also that you, even if some things are going haywire, then other mm-hmm. things are okay and can even be blossoming. And also sometimes when things go haywire, it's the road to making things get better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, absolutely. I like that. It's very positive when I think about it.
I think there is something positive about it because the world survives.
Yes. Yes, it does. It does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, can I tell you a song that makes me happy?
Yeah, please.
I was listening to Melt, Peter Gabriel, third album, and the song... Well, both No Self-Control and I Don't Remember. I just, like, listened to those recently, and it was, like, this like, serotonin, you know, explosion. They made me very happy.
No, I love those. I love all four of those Peter Gabriel albums.
Yeah, they're so good.
Yeah. You could... It's like that thing where it's like, did the dude from Genesis, is he, like, an architect of New Wave somehow? Like... That guy, I think he's top notch. No argument for me. well, look, you have to go to sleep now. I hope you don't just dream about, I'm not going to say what you could dream about, but you just dream about Lana Del Rey songs. How about that?
Yes, that's perfect. I'm so glad I called. Thank you so much. And thank you in general.
You're welcome in general. You have a great night.
You too.
Okay, bye. Best show, hi. Hello.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
This is Adam in Chicago.
Adam in Chicago. What's up, Adam?
Well, are you still taking calls about nightmares and dreams?
Adam, we'll talk about whatever you want, but if you want to talk about nightmares and dreams, let's talk about that.
Yesterday, my 4-year-old told me that he has good dreams about people peeing on other people.
Hold on. So you're... Yeah. How old?
4.
Your 4-year-old says he has good dreams about peeing on people.
Yeah, and if I knew I was going to call in, I think I would have asked for more details, mm-hmm. but I left it at that.
I'm kind of happy you don't have more details on this one.
Me too. Me too, Tom.
Sometimes things just have to be things, and you just let it cycle through your kid's head and roll right back into that subconscious.
No, we gotta get it out.
Oh, you want it out? Well, look, you can't get it out. Your kid's your kid.
Okay.
Your kid's a weirdo. Right. You were a weirdo, so your kid's a weirdo. Everybody's a weirdo. You know that. You know you were.
I do know that.
You were a weird little kid, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was a weird little kid.
Every little
absolutely.
Kid's weird.
Yes.
Don't make your kid, don't make your kid uptight.
Well, I didn't. Oh, yeah. Obviously.
What are you going to take? What are you going to do? Take him to Eternal Sunshine Land?
To where it says his memories?
Yeah, get him hooked up to wires and stuff? No.
No, it hadn't occurred to me to get him hooked up to wires.
Please, don't take your kid to Eternal Sunshine Land. Don't do it.
Oh, okay. All right. No, I let it. I kind of let the issue die. I didn't. Yeah. I didn't ask any other questions.
What are the best and worst two songs on the White Album?
Off the top of my head. Okay, so the Octopus's Garden is on Abbey Road, but lately, for whatever reason, I'm more impressed with that song. I know that's not the question.
No.
I don't know. What are the best and worst two songs on the White Album?
I'd say one of the worst is probably Rocky Raccoon is one of the worst. Best, let's see. How do you feel about Dear Prudence?
I like Dear Prudence. I like Back in the USSR, too.
Well, look, how about that 1-2 punch? Back in the USSR, right into Dear Prudence.
Yeah.
Think about that. Is that the best?
Yeah.
Is that album, is that the best side of any Beatles record ever? Side one of White Album? Think about it.
Yeah. Hang with I like the White Album a lot.
This is what I'm going to say. You picture this as side, as a album side here. Back in the USSR. Dear Prudence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then what comes next? Glass Onion?
Yeah.
Then you go into Wild Honey Pie. Then Story of Bungalow Bill. Then While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Then Happiness is a Warm Gun. It's pretty solid. Oh, Obla Di Obla Da's in there, too.
It was great.
Yeah.
We listen to, in this house, the Goodnight Song every single night. The older kid who doesn't dream about people peeing on other people, he listens to that when he goes to bed every night.
That Beatles song? The Ringo song?
Is there a Goodnight Song? Is that a Ringo song? I didn't realize that.
That song?
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah, wow. My kids are getting me into Ringo.
Well, whatever. Look, how about that? You learn from the mouths of babes.
I never realized that was a Ringo song.
I don't know if he wrote it. I can't remember if he wrote it or not, but he sings it, right? Doesn't he sing that song?
Yeah,
he sings that. All right, buddy.
He does.
You have a great night.
All right.
Best show, hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hey. What's up, Tom?
You tell me. Who am I speaking to?
This is Sam in L.A. Sorry, I've been calling like nonstop trying to get a hold of you guys.
That's all right, Sam. What's up, Sam?
I'm just calling about the topic.
Where in L.A. are you? Paint the picture. Where are you in L.A.? Okay.
I live in Mount Washington.
What's that now?
It's like near Highland Park. It's in the east side of Los Angeles.
Okay.
Got some, it's nice and quiet up here.
What are you near? Silver Sun Pickups?
Am I near the Silver Sun Pickups?
Yeah.
No. They're those guys are in Silver Lake. But I used to live over there a long time ago. But, not anymore or whatever, so.
What's your favorite L.A. song of all time? What song, what's the song that brings to mind that city for you? Entourage theme?
The Jane's Addiction. Yeah. Yeah, I was actually just watching Entourage on Amazon Prime.
What happened?
Revisiting.
What happened? You lost a bet or something?
Yeah. I needed my fill of Matt Dillon's brother.
Kevin Dillon,
that's right.
How have we not gotten updates on Entourage? How has there not been, an Entourage reunion movie? There was the film that came out in theaters, but how has there not been like an HBO one-off thing that we've gotten?
Like a reunion special kind of deal?
How have we not gotten?
I don't know.
How come we don't get one of those every 2 years to just keep us up to what Vinny Chase is doing?
Vinny Chase and the boys?
Yeah. Because when we left off, didn't he win a Golden Globe at the end of the movie?
I think he was a critically acclaimed director, auteur.
That's right, for Hyde.
Right. Very good, yeah. He's a DJ.
Yes.
So it's an updated Jekyll and Hyde story.
Can you imagine that movie would win a single award, the movie that was supposed to be his directorial debut in the Entourage movie, that would win?
I think, yeah. Like, I don't know, I mean, well, let me tell you that I know that when that came out, that kind of music was hugely popular, that EDM stuff, you know?
No, that music was already out of date. It was like from Blade.
That's true. It is like very much like a Blade. I'd rather watch Blade.
Are you kidding? I'd rather watch Blade every day if I could.
Yeah, that movie was rough. I mean, clearly, you know, I've only seen it once, but
Blade rules. Blade maybe. 2 rules.
Yeah.
You know what the best line in all of Blade is? And I'm going to censor
ahead.
Myself.
Okay.
I think it goes something like this. Blade says, some MFers always got to try to ice skate uphill.
I have to revisit that. I haven't seen it in a couple of years.
That was his classic line during the final fight
right.
scene. And remember that scene? Remember when he faced off against Ron Perlman in Blade 2?
Yes, I do remember that.
And he was like, he played like a weird, I guess, like crypto-Nazi vampire hunter or something. And he's like,
right.
Me and the boys got a question for you. We want
right.
to know, do you blush? So he asked him like a racist thing. And then Blade just,
right.
Blade just goes like, ooh. Like, you've been dying. I'm right in front of you. You've been dying
right.
for this. Right? Remember
yeah.
that scene?
Yes, I do. I do. I think that Blade 2 kind of enhanced. I think it's one of those good sequels. I think it's a good sequel. I think it enhances the first one. I think it was a good and necessary sequel.
Yeah. Well, it was. And you know who directed Blade 2, right?
I don't know. I do not know.
A young man named Guillermo del Toro.
Is that right?
It is.
Pre-Shape of Water.
Yes, he did Blade 2 came out before Shape of Water, the movie that won the Oscar last year.
The
yes.
fish movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting that he would take that on. I wouldn't have guessed that he directed that. Thanks for telling me that.
You're welcome. So what do you got for me? You got a dream you want to tell me about?
Yeah, look, and this is a reoccurring thing.
Yeah.
Kind of freaks me out how often I have this dream. But I'll paint a picture for you. I'm driving down it's always the same road, same like kind of location. I'm driving like down the I-5, which is, you know, the California freeway. And it's kind of like a lot of traffic, and then I look out to the side of the road, and there are just people in my life, you know, who have come and gone, you know, dead relatives, alive relatives, ex-girlfriends, friends, former friends, whatever, who are just kind of, they have concession stands, and they're selling my belongings.
Okay.
But I'm not allowed to buy anything. That these things belong to me. I'm not allowed to like, buy any of them back. And then I always wake up and I feel like I haven't been breathing. A former girlfriend of mine told me, she woke me up after having one of these dreams and told me that like she could tell that I wasn't breathing. Very strange. And I have this dream maybe once every 3 months.
Well, this seems like a general, there seems to be a general vibe of powerlessness in this dream. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, certainly.
Because your things are not your things now.
Right.
And you're not even allowed to get your things back.
That's right.
It sounds like somebody has some boundary issues.
You think so? You think that's, well, why would I, wait.
No, it sounds like
you have
issues with somebody, with people overstepping your...
Oh.
You need to set some boundaries.
I think that that's accurate.
That's what I would say to that. It sounds like someone needs to set some boundaries.
Okay. So you think it's a boundary issue?
Because they're taking your stuff. They're taking it.
Yeah.
They're not even giving you. They're not even letting you. They're not even letting you get a chance to buy your own stuff back. That's the most.
They're not even letting me in. They're not even letting me in on the cut. They're not even giving me.
You didn't ask for your stuff to get sold.
No, I didn't.
But they're selling it. They don't care.
That's right. That's right.
No, I don't like this. I don't like this. Sounds like somebody's got to set some boundaries.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know.
Well, sounds like it might be who's selling this stuff in the dream?
Like anyone in my life, anyone that's like ever been in my life. Alive people.
Well, let's take a look at that, shall we?
Okay, sure, sure. Go ahead.
Anyone in your life is everyone in your life is selling your stuff.
Right.
Well, that says everything you need to. I need to hear on this.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not. It's all people that I know. It's not like it's Abraham Lincoln George Clooney.
It's people you know, right. People you love. They're selling your stuff.
Sure. I trust.
They took your stuff. They're selling it, and you don't even get a cut. You don't even get any. You don't have any say of whether they sell it or not.
That's right. And I can't. And I don't even have access to it myself. I can't. Like I said, I can't. I get out of the car. I walk up to one of the many concession stands and I say, give me my stuff back. And they go, this isn't your stuff. It's basically that. And then I start panicking and then I wake up. Because then I look down the road and it's just endless concession stands of people. It's like a concession stand, like something you'd see almost like at the state fair.
Yeah, but it's your stuff being sold.
Yeah, it's not deep-fried Oreos and stuff,
Well, my friend.
My belongings.
Right. Sounds like you got some issues to look into.
I think that's an understatement.
Yeah. Well, Godspeed, my friend.
Hey, I love you, Tom. Thank you very much, and you have yourself a nice evening.
You too. I'll talk to you soon.
Get home safe. Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye. Nice guy. Tell me to get home safe. Nobody else told me to get home safe. That guy told me to get home safe. Here's Blade.
Blade, meet the Blood Pack.
Meet the Blood Pack.
Lighthammer. Verlaine. Priest. Snowman. Chupa. And Reinhardt.
Reinhardt's Ron Perlman. This is one of the best scenes in any movie ever.
Hey, me and the gang were wondering.
What was that?
Can you blush?
Here we go, Poppy.
Oh, here we go, Poppy.
Yeah.
Ooh, I get it.
I see now. Yeah. Been training for 2 years to take me out. And now here I am. Ooh, it's exciting, isn't it? Okay, here's your chance.
So he pulls out a knife.
Come on, where are you?
No, that's the stake.
Here I am, right in front of you.
Jammed to his heart.
Adolf here gets the first shot. Come on, what are you looking at her for? You need permission? Or maybe you need a little bit of incentive, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I can help you with that.
Oh, I love it. This is the best movie I've ever seen in my life, Blade 2. Reinhardt. If anything, Shape of Water, I finally watched after a long time. Putting it off. I watched it. I enjoyed it. I didn't think I would have enjoyed it, but I did. By all rights, that should have been Guillermo del Toro's return to Oscar glory after Blade 2. And tell me why you got this Avengers movie coming out. They got everyone in anything. Anybody ever put a cape on running around in this thing? But you got Blade. You can't get Blade in that thing? You got Thanos? You don't think Blade could help with that? He's a daywalker. He's got all their strengths, none of their weaknesses. You want him fighting Thanos? He just fought Reinhardt. It's very troubling how Blade was overlooked in that moment. It's very sick. Very sad. Equal parts sick and sad. Should I end the show? I think I'll end the show. Might be time to end the show. And I will say this. We do the show. I don't know. I've been doing the show for a long time. We go up in life. We go down in life. Yeah, you know, don't take a, rocket scientist to figure, yeah, look, I'm on a little bit of a downswing now. That's how it goes. What are you going to do? You going to be alive? You ride the ride, right? I'm riding the ride. And I do the show every week. I love it. It's my favorite thing to do. But I do think I'm going to do what I have to do to want to keep the show going. I love doing it. I'm going to just say whatever the best show is, it'll be what it'll be. That is the definition of the best show. I think it's a good thing because if the show changes shape or whatever, I don't know. It's a good thing because think about Saturday Night Live. Think about how exciting it would be if Saturday Night Live had done something different with that format, right? If they had done something with that format and cracked it open, they give them 90 minutes of airtime, prime real estate. What if they did something different with it and it changed every once in a while and became a different thing rather than being something you could set your watch to? Yeah, we'll see. Tell you this. As long as I'm here, it's the best show. As long as I'm here, it's the best. And I leave you tonight, my friends, with a little Yanni from live at the Acropolis. One man's dream. Best show back soon. Thanks for listening.